Wow, hey guys, welcome to what's probably going to be one of the hardest episodes of Film Frenzy for me to do, because I'm attempting an Arrowverse Mega episode. That's right, you heard me right. We have just had Crisis on Infinite Earths, the big end game of the Arrowverse, the end of this huge first saga, this huge first phase, again, like, you know, Infinity War and Endgame, of the Arrowverse. You know, it's just wrapped up everything, the end... The end of the show. The show that has started the Arrowverse is coming to an end. We've met the end of Oliver Queen. I know I should have put a spoiler alert before that. Spoiler alert before that. But, you know, it's literally been said since the end of Season 7 of Arrow that Oliver was going to die. So we knew Oliver was going to die. He's gone, unfortunately. Very sad. So Arrow is on its last two episodes ever. So I thought what I'd do is I'd talk about almost the entire Arrowverse, because with Crisis on Infinite Earths, we've been confirmed that, like, you know, 8-10 more shows are, like, you know, technically part of the Arrowverse because they are in the multiverse. You know, even the DCEU, so the DC films are part of the Arrowverse now. Even the Batman from 1989, even the Batman 60s show is technically part of the Arrowverse because it's part of the multiverse. So, for the record, what I'm saying is it's the main Arrowverse shows, so none of the animated ones, like the spin-offs or anything like that, and on the web series, and not Black Lightning either, because that was only really confirmed to be part of the Arrowverse, even though people have been theorising about it. Until, you know, episode 3, so the last episode of part 1 of Crisis on Infinite Earths. So, you know, until like a month ago, that wasn't Arrowverse. And I should really be doing Constantine, but I haven't seen Constantine all the way through. And, I mean, though that is technically Arrowverse canon, he's only a recurring character in the Arrowverse, which sort of goes against my logic for some of the other shows on this list, but... Mainly because I haven't seen it and I didn't want to rank any of these unfairly. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk to you about Crisis on Infinite Earths. And then I'm going to talk to you about each of the crossovers, the main crossovers and a couple of the like smaller episode ones like Flash vs. Arrow and Duet and World's Finest, the Supergirl and Flash ones. And I'm going to rank those and then I'm going to rank every season in the Arrowverse to date. So that's 24 seasons of TV that I've seen, ranging from every season of Legends, Supergirl, Batwoman, The Flash, and Arrow. I think that's them all. I kind of have like a mini list written down. So, you know, yeah, I hope you enjoy it. I've rambled on way too long. This intro alone is 3 minutes. God knows how long this podcast is going to end up being, because, you know, I'll try and keep them under 20 minutes. Not going to accomplish that for this one. Okay, so, I'm going to start off talking to you about part 1, so episodes 1, 2 and 3 of Crisis on Infinite Earths. To be honest, I wasn't as disappointed as some people were with it. I didn't think it was all that bad, to be honest. Sure, it was a little disappointing and it wasn't great, but I still had some fun with it. So don't get me wrong, the first part was not great, but I still thought that it was almost good. I did get annoyed that some of the fake-out deaths and that nearly all the cameos were just there to be there, just to expand the multiverse a bit. Even though I did have a lot of fun with those cameos, like I said, they were just there to be there. I also thought that some of the parts were a little cheesy, but, you know, it is... It's the Arrowverse. Most of the shows are pretty cheesy, especially Arrow. Not Arrow. Arrow is the least cheesy one, probably by far. Apart from Batwoman. But, you know, Legends and The Flash, they're cheesy, okay? They are. They go for it. They understand that they are cheesy and campy. So they embrace it. But, you know, some of this was just kind of cringy dialogue, stuff like that. I also thought that the Anti-Monitor in this part, the first three episodes, wasn't really in it enough for me to feel compelled towards him. But I did feel like the acting was pretty great, especially for the emotional scenes. I liked most of the action, and, you know, it still had me excited to see the last two episodes. I was still invested in this Crisis story. I liked seeing the main heroes come together for some of the episodes, more specifically like episode 1 and episode 3, because that was the main point when they were all together. And like I said, I still liked the cameos, even if there were too many of them, and they were glossed over immediately and sort of, you know, just there to be there. I'm speaking very fast. So overall, I was a little bit disappointed, but I still found myself having a ton of fun. So for that first part, I'd probably give it like a 6 out of 10, so still positive, just not as high as I would have hoped for it to have been. And then part 2, okay, I thought was a big improvement on part 1 of Crisis. This part especially was definitely more emotional, it was better written, it had more of a focus on the story. It wasn't as cheesy, there is still a little bit of that, you know, classic Arrowverse cheese in there. Arrowverse cheese. But, you know, it wasn't as cheesy. The tone was a bit more serious, even though the tone was definitely serious in part 1. Because our heroes were at a loss here, it felt like, you know, things were getting serious. There was a big problem that our heroes needed to solve because they'd lost. You know, they had to try and figure out how to get back from that. That main cameo in episode 4, so the first episode of part 2, if you've seen it, you'll know what I mean. I don't want to spoil it too much, but there's a DC movie cameo in that episode, and oh my god, it's great. And I also liked the fact that we kind of got a bit of an origin for the Anti-Monitor. I still don't think he was a good villain. He was okay, he wasn't bad, but he was just okay. I liked that we had a little bit of an origin. It made him a bit more compelling, but he still wasn't that good. I really liked how the plot was wrapped up, and I liked that even though the stakes felt higher, they made part 2 still quite funny. I found episode 4 and 5, so part 2, a lot funnier than episodes 1, 2 and 3, part 1. I just found it a lot funnier, and I thought they did a better job of balancing the dark tone and the humour. Kind of like Endgame did. I also really like how ridiculous episode 5 is, you know, with a giant version of the Anti-Monitor and with a giant teddy bear attacking our heroes, well, distracting them, but, you know, I love how ridiculous that is because, you know, that's definitely more of the Legends of Tomorrow level humour, but I don't know, I love Legends, as you will see when we rank this, I love it a lot more than some other people do, so, yeah, I really liked how ridiculous it got, even though it was a little stupid. I didn't like what they did with Lex Luthor. I didn't really like that they decided to make him sort of an antagonist. He was an antagonist, but, you know, he was sort of the main antagonist, to be fair. He was more of a threat than the Anti-Monitor really was in part 4. Because, let's face it, the Anti-Monitor had done his job in part 3, episode 3. I'm stumbling over all my words. I shouldn't... What's the point of me using scripts for this? You know, I say scripts. They're notes that I will try and read but stutter over and be stupid because I'm stupid. Yeah, the fight was cool at the end, and the Anti-Monitor himself, even though when he became a giant he was silly, but I still loved it because it was cool and it was action-packed, and it's probably the best fight scene of the crossover, maybe aside from the fight scene at the end of part 4. I found it a lot more emotional. I loved it. You know, like I said, Lex Luthor, didn't really see the point of him having his own villain plot. But this was definitely what I wanted the whole crossover to be. And I've seen a lot of other people say that. And I wish the whole crossover was right. Was like, I'm so sorry, this is going to be the worst podcast ever. I really wish the whole crossover was like this part, because if it was, it would definitely be a 9 out of 10, 10 out of 10 crossover. But unfortunately, it wasn't. So, huge improvement on part 1. 9 out of 10, probably for me. Honestly, I thought this was amazing. But yeah, so I'm going to talk quickly how I thought overall about the crossover. I thought Crisis on Infinite Earths was a great crossover that mainly suffered from its desire to include copious amounts of cameos and an almost good first part that just didn't hit the right spot. If this crossover was like its second part the whole way through, then it would have been given an excellent score, a 9 or 10 out of 10, but it wasn't. The first part of this crossover focused way too much on cameos and build-up to actually cause a compelling story and villain, which is the main reason that this event as a whole was dragged down from an amazing score. Not only do we have an only okay villain, but they decided to make Lex Luthor continue to be a villain for whatever reason it was with the writers. Aside from that, the crossover is great, filled with emotional moments, great action and acting, some great cameos, and some pretty high stakes, with an extremely satisfying conclusion and final two episodes that kept me excited, entertained, and left me having a ton of fun. Overall, I'd give the crossover 8 out of 10. Alright, so now I'm going to get to, something quite hard to do. Not as hard as what's going to come after this segment, but that was writing up and ranking every crossover in the Arrowverse. The main crossovers, at least. Now, I'm ranking 8 of them. So the ones that I'm going to be ranking are Flash vs. Arrow, which was, you know, Flash vs. Arrow, the episode of The Flash. And there was an episode before that on Arrow where Barry crossed over, so I'm sort of looking at Flash vs. Arrow as those two episodes. Heroes Join Forces, which was Legends of Today and Legends of Yesterday, the two episode, backdoor pilot for Legends of Tomorrow. Invasion, Crisis on Infinite Earths, Crisis on Earth X, Elseworlds, World's Finest, the Supergirl episode, and Duet. The musical episode. So coming in 8th place is World's Finest. As you'll find out, I don't really like the Supergirl show. Supergirl is a character I really like, you know. I have a lot of fun with her whenever she's on screen. But the show as a whole, I'm not a big fan of. And this episode, I like, but I'm not a big fan of either. It is just a Supergirl episode with the Flash showing up for it and sort of explaining the multiverse a little bit more, sort of solidifying it in the Arrowverse. There is some really nice moments between Supergirl and the Flash, you know, building their chemistry. It's not necessarily a bad episode. It's just not a good one either, personally. I know some other people will disagree with that, because I know some people really like Supergirl. Personally, I just don't like the show. Now, in 7th place, unfortunately, is Duet, the musical episode. I love musicals, I love The Flash, and I love the Supergirl character in the Arrowverse. I love this... I don't love the plot. I like the way that the plot is set up, and I like the way that, you know, that leads to that plot for the episode. That is a horrible way of phrasing it. But if I'm completely honest, it was just a bit weird. I love how it was kind of a Glee reunion, because if you didn't know this, Melissa Benoist, who plays Supergirl, I hope I pronounced her name right, is in Glee. Grant Gustin, who plays The Flash, is in Glee. I think it's Darren Criss, who plays Music Meister in this episode, the villain, is in Glee. So it is just this, big Glee reunion episode. It's a musical. It's a lot of fun. I think this is one of the more fun entries on the list, even though most of these are fun. And I really like the songs, but that's another flaw with it. Some of the songs are quite cringy. I mean, come on, Super Friend. The best song of it, in my opinion, is also ultimately cringy. It is one of the most cringy things I've ever heard, other than this podcast, of course. And, you know, that's sort of why it sticks out so much, and that's not great. But you have Barry proposing at the end of the episode. It is a ton of fun, like I've said. It is, you know, it takes a lot of the tropes from classic musicals, and because I love musicals so much, and I love Glee so much, yeah, I love Glee a lot. You know, that's sort of why it's why I love it, but I also think it's one of the lower crossovers. Okay, so in 6th place, I have Heroes Join Forces, the pilot episode for Legends of Tomorrow. So we have the main villain of season 1, Vandal Savage, and we also have two of our protagonists for season 1, Hawk Girl and Hawkman, I think. I can't really remember that. I have not watched this crossover in a while. I don't think it's necessarily bad, again, like I said with the others. But, I don't know, it just feels like it's lacking something. It's compelling and it's entertaining. But at the same time, I feel like it could have been maybe just a longer episode rather than two episodes. I know they don't really do that for the Arrowverse, but an hour and 20 minutes is a long time. That is a feature film length time. And they sort of tell this story that doesn't need to be told in a feature length fashion. It could just be done in a slightly longer episode, like an hour long episode. Yeah, because there's a lot of stuff in this episode, where Felicity is just, you know, this is sort of where she makes that turn from being really likable to being kind of bitchy. I see where she's coming from in it. It's just I don't feel like it was the right way to treat Felicity as a character. Because I really like Felicity, and I really ship Oliver and Felicity. It's just, you know, this episode sort of takes that and kind of just does something with it that I wasn't really that happy with. I like that it's time travel, because I love time travel stories, so I really enjoyed the time travel part of this. But yeah, like I said, it just feels like it's lacking something. Vandal Savage, I do prefer him in this as a 2-episode-long villain. Maybe he would have been better as a fleshed-out story arc, like he is in Legends, but I feel like he's still dragged out a bit in Legends Season 1. I feel like he's just not that great of a villain, and that's why I don't like him as much. I am all over the place with this, but in 5th place is Flash vs. Arrow, that 2-part thing. Well, wasn't really 2 parts, actually, this one. This one was the first crossover, like, big crossover episode. So, in the Arrow episode, Barry, now the Flash, goes over to Star City. Or was it Starling still then? I can't really remember. But he goes over to Star City and, you know, he helps out Arrow with the case. And then Arrow comes over to Central City and helps out Barry with the case. But Barry gets hypnotized. Hence, Flash versus Arrow. They have a fight. It's a very cool fight. This is just a really good crossover. You know, I liked the story. The villain, Rainbow Raider, I believe it was. Not that great. But, you know, there's a lot of there's a lot of fun to be had with this. It's really funny. You know, it's Season 1 of The Flash. This is when The Flash was almost at its prime. So, yeah, it's just really fun, okay? This is probably the most fun on here without getting too dark, apart from what I'm going to talk about next, which is Invasion. This was the first big crossover. You know, you had every show. You had the Supergirl episode, which was technically part one, but you don't need to watch it. I mean, even when you buy the home video release of Invasion, the Supergirl episode isn't in there. Because there are slight bits that build up towards it, but aside from that, you don't really need it. You don't need to watch it. I don't watch it as part of it. But then you have the Flash episode, the Arrow episode, which was Arrow's 100th episode, and was actually just a really, really great episode of Arrow, rather than a continuation of the crossover. And then you have the Legends episode. So you have the 4 big shows coming together for the first time. And it's just so fun. You know, you have this wacky adventure where aliens are throughout time. You know, you have time hopping in the 3rd part. You have, like, going into people's brains and memories and altering their memory in the 2nd part. The 1st part, you're building up to all this. Some really great action. Some surprisingly good special effects, actually. A lot of banter between the group, because, you know, this is everyone meeting for the first time. So yeah, this is a ton of fun. And I've said this like the 3rd time now, but this is probably the most fun out of all of them. But then in 3rd place, I have Crisis on Infinite Earths. I wish that I could put this higher up, but like I said earlier, that first part, the first 3 episodes, just drag it down, because they're not amazingly well written. They focus way too much on cameos rather than giving us a good story. The villain, the Anti-Monitor, literally appears once in something that's like, what, 3 hours, 20 minutes long, if you don't count the adverts across the 5 hours. For a 3-hour, 20-minute long film, you don't see the villain until the last, what? You don't see the villain until the last, like, what? 60 minutes to like the last hour, apart from a literally 1-minute appearance in the 2nd episode. You're not interested enough in him to be like, wow, I really want this guy dead. So it's not like Thanos in Infinity War and Endgame, where in that first part Thanos is built up so well. Okay, you see his motive, but you also want him gone because he's such a threat. And then in Endgame, yeah, the character's taken back a bit, but he's still a, you know, he's still a genuine threat. Whereas in this, he's not set up at all in part one. But in part two, you know, he's a much better villain, even though that still doesn't make him good. So that part one drags it down so much. It would be lower. It'd probably be like 5th or something like that. if part two wasn't such a boost in quality, wasn't so much better, so much well written. You know, yeah, it's just a really great crossover that could be amazing, but part one pulls it down too much. In second place is Elseworlds. One of the lesser, it's a much, how do I put it? It's a much more laid-back crossover after, you know, you have the String of Invasion and Crisis on Earth X. These two really big crossovers. And then you take it back a bit for Elseworlds. It's only 3 hours long, much like its original crossover. Original big crossover, anyway, Invasion. You only have Supergirl, Flash, and Arrow in this. You don't even have any appearance from the Legends. It's really cool, though, because you get to see the 90s Flash in this. It's definitely a prologue to Crisis on Infinite Earths. So, I don't know. It's much more laid back. Yes, it also, at the same time, still has this massive scope and scale. And I really liked that. I liked how they introduced Batwoman. I like Batwoman as a character. And I don't mind the show, which we'll get to in a minute. But yeah, just a really nice crossover. It's really fun, really wacky, and I loved it. But in first place is Crisis on Earth X. The crossover where the Nazis won World War II and then multiversal planet Hoppy-Troppy sends them back to Earth 1. All of our heroes unite up until Infinite Earths, Crisis on Infinite Earths. This was the biggest crossover. You had Arrow, Supergirl, The Flash and Legends of Tomorrow all in this one place again. But this time, Supergirl gets her own episode. We start off with Barry and Iris' wedding, getting crushed by Nazis. Just really, really fun. I really love this one. Like I said, quite wacky thinking back on it. It's literally Nazis from a different Earth coming back. You have one of the saddest character deaths in the whole Arrowverse, in my opinion, in this. I really liked some of the new characters that were introduced. It was pretty ambitious at the time to see everyone come together. Really loved it. Doesn't feel like it drags. Just really great. The peak of Arrowverse crossovers. You know what this is? This is take 5 of this segment. First time. No, it's take 4. First time, realised that I hadn't made spots for Arrow season 6 or 7. Second time, going through it, realised that I still hadn't put spots for other things. Third time, I realised that I had my numbers mixed up. And that I hadn't marked place 5. And because the way that everything had been messed up the first two takes, end up like reconfiguring the whole list to things that I didn't want it to reconfigure to. So here, I've given up. I'm just going to give you what I think are the top 5 seasons. When this whole season of the Arrowverse is over, so when we go into that like summertime break after the full season of The Flash has finished and Supergirl and the last two episodes of Arrowverse and season 5 of Legends actually is, I will rank every season of the Arrowverse, but for now I'm just going to give you my top 5, and I'm going to kick off that top 5 with Legends of Tomorrow Season 3. I said earlier in this podcast that I love Legends, and I think this is the best season of Legends of Tomorrow. It's hilarious, it's just a ton of fun, I never felt bored. I like that, like I said earlier, that this season is just 18 episodes. I think this is the longest season, because I think, season 4 might also be 18. But yeah, I like that these are shorter seasons. I wasn't bored with any of the episodes. I love the humour still. And to be honest, when this season aired, it was probably the best season of Arrowverse TV going on. We had Arrow Season 6, which is not great. We had Flash Season 4, which was really good, just not, probably not great. Supergirl, don't like. So yeah, this was probably my favourite season running, maybe closely followed by The Flash. But yeah, just a ton of fun with it. Fourth place, I have Arrow Season 2. Which was pretty hard to pick, because I'm going to give you third place too. That's Arrow Season 1. I can't decide which one of these seasons I like more. They are amazing seasons of TV. Two of the most amazing seasons of Arrowverse TV. They kicked off the Arrowverse, because don't forget at the time, Arrow and Arrow Season 2 were the only two seasons of the Arrowverse until they started The Flash. So you have to think that this was the Iron Man of the Arrowverse. And I think it handled everything pretty well. Just, it didn't have to be part of this big universe. They didn't have to have a crossover episode. It was this season-long story that we had once a year about a man returning from an island and doing what his father wished. Then in season 2, you have an amazing villain in Deathstroke. Season 1, you have an amazing villain in The Dark Archer, Malcolm Merlyn. So you have these great villains, great plots, great characters. It's just tons of fun. The tone is great. It's kind of dark. It's basically Batman. It's basically a TV version of Batman, which, you know, there already are versions of that. But you know what I mean? Like, the live-action Batman without it being Batman. And it works really well. It's really, really good. Amazing TV. And then in second place, again, hard to choose, but I am confident with my second and first places. And that's The Flash Season 1. The first season of The Flash tells an amazing origin story that kind of follows really close in the footsteps of Arrow. But, you know, I really had a lot of fun with it. It has great humour, amazing characters, an amazing plot. The Reverse Flash is probably still the best villain in the Arrowverse, even though some of the decisions that they've made creatively in the later seasons of of The Flash and other shows have sort of knocked him down a little bit. He's still, in this season, a mastermind. You know, he's great. He's really an amazing villain. I really like the score for the show, and obviously that score originated from the season. So yeah, really, really great. But just topping that with an amazing, amazing season of TV. One of my favourite TV seasons of all time. Putting, you know, The Flash on one of my most favourite TV shows of all time, alongside just the Arrowverse as a whole, is The Flash Season 2. Zoom, though he doesn't necessarily top Reverse Flash, is an amazing villain. The characters introduced in the first season continue to be great. We have new characters. We have the introduction of the multiverse. Some great action. We see Barry at his possible lowest, aside from, you know, post-Iris in Season 3. So, you know, really, really great storytelling. I love the plot. I love the new characters. Love the old characters. Just amazing, amazing season of TV. So, that was it. Sorry, I know this last bit wasn't what I promised it to be. And I know it's a bit all over the place, this episode. And I know my voice isn't exactly great for this anyway. But I'm not exactly having the nicest throat problems at the minute. There isn't a nice throat problem. So, my voice doesn't even sound good still. I'm hoping that one day I'm actually going to be healthy and have a nice presenting voice. But let's face it, it's never going to happen. So, you're going to have to stick with me. But yeah, I hope you enjoyed the video. I will make an updated Arrowverse video where I actually explain everything when the season of the Arrowverse finishes. I hope you enjoyed my opinions. I feel like my top 5, maybe not Legends, but, you know, my top 4 for definite, is relatively universally agreed upon. Not by everyone, but most people do agree that the first 2 seasons of Arrow and Flash are the best that the Arrowverse has gotten. So yeah, I hope you enjoy listening, and I will see you next week with a Harry Potter video, okay? I know I said that would be this one, but, you know, I watched Crisis on Infinite Earths, and I thought I should probably talk about that. So bye.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.